Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome. So yet another thrilling edition of Plank of the Week. It's me, Mike Graham. I'm here with Dawn Neeson and Kevin O'Sullivan, two very long-suffering members of the panel here who have been in this studio with me for the last 2 weeks to no avail. Effectively, for the last 2 weeks, we have had technical issues which can only be described as completely and utterly avoidable, which we haven't been able to prevent. However, what we're hoping is that we fixed those particular issues. You might have seen last weekend that we put out a sort of a video explaining how things went so badly wrong, which was that 2 weeks ago, Plank of the Week disappeared in the last 10 minutes, so we couldn't put it out. Last week, we filmed it, but we forgot to record the actual audio. So that's quite an important part of the production process, right? So all I'm going to say to you is this, and this is what I said at the beginning of last week's show. We did have a winner in the first week. It was Merseyside Police for that totally and utterly ludicrous poster that they put out saying that... causing offence was an offence, when it turned out that it wasn't actually an offence and they had to withdraw and do all that. Last week, believe it or not, and I think they might make something of it this week as well, Harry and Meghan were the planks of the week last week. However, what I'm going to do now is what I did last week, which is to rescind both of those plankery awards and award this to the Talk Radio Television technical team. With absolutely no offence caused, none intended. I'm not going to name anybody. I'm not going to put it in anybody's particular lap. But I am going to say that surely, after 2 weeks of failing to produce a publishable edition of Plank of the Week, it has to go to the technical team at Talk Radio. Well done, guys. So now it's time for this week's Plank of the Week. And we've got plenty of contenders. And as you can see, we've been doing this now for so long that Dawn cannot contain herself. I better give you some time to kind of calm yourself down. She's on his hysterics, ladies and gentlemen, because we're trying to make sure that this all works.
She's just very excited about the prospect of sound this week.
Well, yeah,
we're really... special offer.
We're really looking
sound
forward
ambition.
To... But I tell you what, I mean, what we did last week, I thought, was a pretty good salvaging job of what we had. And I'm sorry for those of you who've been missing the show, but hopefully it's back to normal now. Let's kick off, Kevin, while Dawn composes herself with you. Give us your first one of the day.
My first Plank of the Week nomination is a guy who used to be a weatherman. I gather he's a full-time presenter now on GMB. His name is Alex Beresford.
Oh, yes.
Who took an opportunity on live television only today to attack his colleague Piers Morgan for Piers not quite understanding all the rules about racism and wokeism. And I just thought that... So they had a massive bust-up.
Yeah, Piers wasn't very happy, was he?
Well, Piers was attacked. Beresford said, "You're very unfair to Harry and Meghan, particularly Meghan. You attack Meghan just because she broke off your friendship." He talked about the negative press that Harry and Meghan have always got, that they even had during their engagement. I don't remember that, do
no.
you? They didn't have a negative press during their engagement. They had very, very positive press, and the wedding was a kind of crescendo of positivity in
it
terms
was.
Of the way they were covered. So I don't recognise that. I thought it was the wrong environment to attack a guy while you're on live television in the workplace. Piers stormed off.
Piers, I think, saw it as a bit of a personal attack.
Yeah, he did.
Because, I mean, it's all very well to have different opinions, because that's
what
we all do.
Of course, because I mean, Beresford thought that any of us would ever do that.
Well, of course. But I mean, I think there is a line, and maybe Beresford crossed it. In terms
I think
of,
he
well,
did.
Certainly, as far as Piers was concerned.
He called Piers's behaviour diabolical, and that it was he was so tired of listening to this day after day after day.
Right.
Well, Piers is a very important...
Piers is Good Morning Britain,
isn't he, after all. He's the one putting on the ratings. So I'm sorry, Alex, if you're tired of listening to Piers, but it seems that the viewers aren't, so perhaps you ought to go with the flow. That's the television business. It's about getting ratings. And also, he was very much on the woke side of things. You know, these poor people, the trouble they've had to go through. Well, we know what we think about that. And Piers... as I say, stormed off and then came back and said something along the lines of, well, you know, this has raised some very emotional issues. It's good to talk about them, but perhaps attacking your colleague on live television was not the way to do it. I hope Alex Beresford is entitled to his views. I don't share them, and I think the majority of the British public do not share this great sympathy for poor, hard done by Meghan and Harry in their $19 million mansion and all that. But he's entitled to his opinion. But I think he may go through now a period of reflection and wonder whether or not that some former weatherman should be shooting his mouth off at someone.
But all of
like
these things are interesting to watch now in the round, aren't they? Because, you know, if, say, for example, Piers Morgan decided that, you know, to go to the production company and say, I don't want this guy on anymore. What happens then? Because, you know, you then get to a situation where it starts to get a bit tricky. And I'm not suggesting Piers would want to do that, you know.
I'm sure he wouldn't. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
I mean, you do a lot more TV stuff than I do.
Oh, I'm just playing devil's advocate slightly here. I mean, if Alex was unprofessional, and I agree it wasn't the most professional thing
I've
seen.
It was unprofessional, yeah.
But also storming off is not that professional, especially when you have had an entire year of berating government ministers for not coming on your show, calling people snowflakes, and sort of like and having a go at people. There was a politician that recently sort of like said, I've got to go now, and then sort of semi-stormed
But
off,
they do that all the time, don't they? Because they have these,
I'm
you
just,
know.
I'm just playing devil's advocate.
But so Piers is sort of saying, this is what Alex Beresford said. I understand you don't like Meghan Markle, Piers. You've made it clear on a number of times on this programme, a number of times. I understand you have a personal relationship with Meghan Markle, etc. She's entitled to cut you off. Has she said anything about you since she cut you off? Well, she hasn't had the opportunity. I don't think she has, but yet you continue to trash her. Piers then says, okay, I'm done with this, and walked off. Alex goes, no, that's pathetic. And then he starts going on about that. He then says,
and how long was Piers off the actual set?
Well, he went off for quite a few minutes, and then he came back and said, I don't think this is the environment to attack a colleague. Alex said, this is absolutely diabolical behaviour. You can't do that. And it wasn't diabolical behaviour. Piers was expressing his opinion. We know where he
stands. He's written plenty of columns about
and
Meghan
I think,
Markle,
I
which
think,
he's entitled to do.
I think Piers's attitude to Meghan Markle is reflected in the attitudes of many, many people in this country. I think Alex is in the minority here. Just the wrong place to do it. And
you don't think it was good television then?
Well, see, a lot of people, you and I, Mike, we know Piers very well. I've known Piers for God knows how many years, many decades. And people say, oh, he did that for a bit of showbiz. No, he didn't. I could see he was genuinely upset.
He was genuinely upset.
Genuinely upset.
Still good television, though.
Well, you know, that's Piers, isn't it? I mean, he could fall in a vat of pig manure and come up smelling of roses. Mm. It will work quite well for him, as it always does. But a nasty incident propagated by someone who shouldn't have done it. Alex Beresford, you are Plank of the Week.
OK. Dawn, I dare say this won't be the first time this week we talk about the Harry and Meghan situation.
No, my... excuse me, clear throat. My first nomination is going to be Harry.
Has been, as I like to call
this
it.
This is, again, obviously pegged on the Oprah Winfrey interview. But my big thing with this, being very serious, is the whole mental health aspect. Mm. I'm sorry, if you love someone, if you care for someone and they come to you and saying they are struggling so much with their mental health that they are feeling suicidal, you do not ignore that. I'm sorry, in no way, shape or form do you do tell them then to go and get their makeup on, we are going out.
Yeah, we're going out to a do.
Absolutely wrong. I'm willing to put up with a lot of stuff that we have to put up with the royal family. Not a big fan of any of them, but this was the final straw with me. I've got a friend at the moment who has lost their business, lost their marriage through the pandemic, and I sat up all night with him the other night, literally talking him down from suicidal thoughts.
Wow.
You do not in any way, shape or form, no matter how scared you are of your own family, ignore that situation, especially...
But he said he was ashamed, didn't he? And I don't know what he was ashamed of, because they didn't, again, Oprah Winfrey didn't press him as to what he was ashamed about.
I mean, the thing is, you know what? I mean, also, he said in the interview, I didn't ask for help, not a conversation you have with the family, OK?
So he's putting it on them, in other words. So he's basically saying that he's not willing to help out his wife because the family would think badly of him.
Exactly.
That doesn't make him sound like a hero to me.
Well, no, it's not. You know, and when he was a man strong enough to go and serve in Afghanistan, and now suddenly he's not even looking at his own wife properly. Mm. And you know what was really annoying is in 2017, Harry gave an interview himself where he admitted he was very much struggling with his own mental health. He goes, obviously because of the problems with his mum and everything. He goes, I've probably come very close to a complete breakdown. Adding that it was my brother who encouraged me to seek professional help. Mm. This is the family where you don't talk about mental health issues. Right. And it was your own brother, William.
They just say what they suits them now, don't they?
But honestly, Mike, I just got so annoyed with this. I mean, it's plankism of the highest order.
Well, I mean, there
was
lots of things that were said in that interview with Oprah Winfrey, which were very contradictory compared to things that we know to be true from previous encounters with them.
Yeah.
You know, like she doesn't use the internet. She doesn't Google Prince Harry. She doesn't know anything about the royal family.
The racist incident about the colour of her baby was, according to Harry, a private conversation between him and one other member of the royal family that Meghan wasn't present for. She says that there were several conversations with various people.
There were lots of inconsistencies.
There were lots and lots of inconsistencies.
Which I'm going to come on to at some point. Yeah. However, it's not, you know, obviously the whole mental health issue, which is one very close to my heart. And obviously Harry and Williams, considering what they went through with their mum, and your heart aches for what those kids went through. But also, that's the dangerous side of it. But the other stuff is like, I had to Google how to sing the national anthem. Fergie had to teach me how to curtsy. Mm. What was Harry doing all the time?
Pass the Kleenex. What trauma. What a nightmare.
But that aside, Kevin, what was Harry doing?
I know.
He knew what his mother suffered as an outsider.
He should have been teaching her to curtsy.
Well, it sounds like
Harry knows how to curtsy.
Yeah, I bet he does, yeah.
He does now.
He does now.
He curtsies there every day.
He knew what Diana went through going into that family. Mm. So you, as a husband, go out of your way to make sure your wife is looked after.
Of course you do.
He failed on that duty.
Right. But the other question about the whole scenario that was painted there was that she claimed she went to HR. Now, I spoke to somebody today.
Why would you go to HR?
For God's sake,
I don't even know what HR in Kensington Palace looks like. Well, I can't imagine it's like a big company.
They did point out to her she's not an employee.
Well, one, yes, but also I spoke to a guy today who worked in HR, and he said under no circumstances, if that was something that happened, would the person then say to her, sorry, we can't help you. Would say, well, all right, listen, we don't actually cover people who are not currently employed by the household because presumably it's for the staff. However, why don't you go and talk to this person? Or how about you talk to this person over here?
Harry has had mental health care treatment most of his life. Mm. William also made a programme about mental health issues. The two lads had a charity together concerning mental health. And yet this is a family that, we don't ask for help, not a conversation you have within the family.
Which is clearly not true.
No, actually, even Prince Charles talked about his own mental health, about recovering from COVID.
Yeah. Of course.
It's just utter...
Well, this is the problem.
Balderdash.
This is the problem. I'm actually staying away from all members of that particular scenario today because I think there are other planks that we need to get into this group. And I'm going to go with Gavin Williamson today because Gavin Williamson, of course, is the Secretary of State for Education. This is the week that they've told all schools to reopen and send all children back to school. However, with the proviso that they must be tested at least twice before they can actually resume their school classes. And then, when they have been tested, regardless of what that test is saying, whether it's negative or positive, they will have to wear a mask for the entire time that they are in school. And it's a complete and utter shibboleth.
Whereas their teachers don't have to.
Their teachers don't have to.
What's that about?
The problem as well for the schools is that it's not mandatory because the government decided that they could not make it mandatory.
Rightly so.
So now if your kid does not want to wear a mask, the kid can just say so. However, the schools are all being very holier than now and saying things like, it's your moral duty to wear a mask.
Why isn't the moral duty
of the
teachers?
You have to be able to save lives and you have to be able to stop the NHS from becoming overwhelmed. And all of these stories are now becoming sort of out of date, do you know what I mean? They're kind of, people are going, well, hang on, the NHS didn't get overwhelmed. Okay, there might have been a chance of that in January when it was very, very busy, like it is every January, like you warn every year that it's going to be overwhelmed, and it still wasn't overwhelmed, even with COVID.
And now they've closed the Nightingale hospitals down because they were never used.
And I had a teacher on today, he runs a school, had 700 tests given to the kids in the school. I said, how many of them were positive? He said, none. And I'm like, so why are they wearing masks? Well, it's because it protects them from... Well, protects them from what?
Well, this is what I don't get.
Can you imagine if we were sitting here wearing masks, right? I mean, I could put one on,
I suppose. Actually, the way I'm going at the moment,
I mean, you know, but then, and I say this to anybody who thinks it's a good idea, and then sit for 7 hours wearing
it. You can't do it, I couldn't do it.
I mean, literally, you would be in a terrible state. And here's the next bit. If one of the kids does get found to be positive, the kid has to be sent home to self-isolate for a period which has not been specified, but I assume it's at least a week. Mm. And not only does the kid have to do it, but so do the parents and the whole household, right? So, for example, if you are a family of four, all four of you have to self-isolate in the house.
Even?
And you can't go to work.
What about the rest of the school? All the kids are coming into contact with that kid?
Well, what they would normally do is they would
stop
nominate...
the kid before it got
in. No, they would
school.
Nominate whichever kid sits around them. And some schools do it differently. Other schools, I mean, in my kids' school, they've sent people home who play with those people in the playground, mm-hmm. rather than the ones that sit next to them in the class.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's usually a sort of a tight-knit group rather than the whole classroom. But we've also heard of stories of entire classrooms being sent home.
Yeah.
And it's
why
mad.
Why is it the moral duty of the children to wear masks, but it's not the moral duty of the teachers to wear masks?
Well, exactly.
And we're talking young kids in the as same well, room. Not just teenagers.
I know.
Isn't there an inconsistency?
Well,
there?
This is the thing, and... I say to the schools, you know, you should be fighting this a bit more. You should say, look, we can do one or we can do the other. There's no point doing both. Mm. There just isn't.
No, it doesn't make sense.
Because I reckon they've only got a couple of weeks to go until it's Easter. And I reckon when they come back from Easter holidays, the whole thing will be out the window anyway.
Yeah.
Gavin Williamson, I'm afraid, for kind of
he's
confusing...
He's the one that looks like Frank Spencer, isn't he?
He's the one that sounds a bit like Frank Spencer as well, with a northern accent. He sounds a bit like that. And, I mean, he's completely useless.
He's like Frank Spencer or he's northern completely accent.
Well, yeah, but he's like Frank Spencer with a northern accent.
But your impression didn't sound anything like Frank Spencer
see,
or northern.
You are one of those people northern. That says, I can't do impressions, but everybody else thinks they're pretty good, actually.
I'm just honest.
No, you're not.
I've
never been honest in your day's
your
life.
Prank of the week. Prank of the week for dissing Mike's mimicry.
Exactly. You know, I'm going to walk out in a minute if you're not careful.
Storm out.
That's
storm.
It. I've had enough. That's enough. All right, Kevin, your second nominee.
Listen, I was going to nominate Joe Biden, but then I agree with you, Mike. We're doing too much on Harry and Meghan. So yeah. I was going to nominate Joe for...
But he could get an honorary mention.
Climbing on board the woke wagon and saying she was so
brave
to talk about
her
trauma at the palace. But I think you can just accept Joe Biden as basically always going to be in plank of the week because he is an old plank. So I've changed my mind.
Can't say fairer than that.
I've changed my mind and I'm going to move on to a much more... pertinent plank closer to home, and I feel strongly about this. I know you do as well, Mike, and that's Chris Whitty, our old friend, our old enemy. I mean, you know, we are involved in this torturously slow roadmap to freedom. You know, as I said last week, Boris Johnson, when he announced his roadmap to freedom, actually by stealth announced the longest lockdown we've had so far. But in fairness, he gave us a date that might finally let us get out of this lockdown hell, June the 21st. By stages, by degrees, as more and more people are vaccinated, we emerge from the darkness and into the light. By the summer, back to normal. Chris Whitty, yesterday, in front of a select committee at the Parliament. Oh, wait a minute. Mm. You know, we've got to be very careful. We could get 30,000 people dying if we go too fast. You know, he's basically saying that there could be a third wave after lockdown ends. And thousands and thousands, 30,000 people will die again. Well, Boris Johnson also said in his roadmap speech a very significant changing of the goalposts. Instead of we're going to beat COVID, it was when we get to our end of lockdown moment, June the 21st, we will not have defeated COVID. We will have to learn to live with it.
Right.
Very wise, and that's the actual truth. Because, by the way...
Mind you, I'm slightly worried now that Boris Johnson said that, because normally what he says
doesn't goes ever back on.
But
by the way, the vaccine is busy turning COVID into a non-lethal condition. So we can't ruin the country just so a few people can't get ill. And yet... Whitty, then...
He's so miserable
Whitty,
as well.
Whitty, you know, on behalf of his sage mates, Valance and the Van Tam and the gang, you know, and that's, oh, we could have a third wave, 30,000 more could die. Well, we need to recalibrate the thinking of the country, as Boris indicated. We've got to learn to live with this, not imagine we can beat it, and not run away from it scared all the time. Sage...
clearly have not recalibrated their approach.
They haven't, because this is more modelling, isn't it?
And they've got to stop, Chris Whitty in particular, but all of them, they've got to stop scaring the hell out of the country.
Yeah.
It's a real problem. People are terrified. And going back to your point about schools, Mike, I mean, the kids are traumatised.
Yeah, no, they are.
We've got to get out of this. This, certainly by the autumn, is probably going to be a condition where anyone who gets it will be sick for about 3 or 4 days and then they'll be all right. No one will die from it. We've got to get used to it and stop running for it. And because Chris Whitty seems to want us to fight this non-lethal condition for the rest of all time, ruining the country, ruining the economy, traumatising and terrifying the nation, he is undoubtedly the plank of the
I think he is, and he hasn't been on it for a while, but certainly, yeah, his statement was bizarre, because to say, you know, if we open up the economy too quickly, 30,000 people will die. Not might die, not could will die, will die.
Did at any point anyone explain how, when the vaccine rollout is so successful and we've done something right for once, and most people are meant to be vaccinated by this summer, how these 30,000 people are going to die? When?
Exactly.
Who?
Right, Dawn. If he's saying that, you know, can somebody please explain to me what the hell the vaccine is for?
Well, exactly.
Well, 30,000 people died in January, right, which was the highest number of deaths per month, I think, in any given period of the last year. However, most of them were elderly with underlying conditions who were in hospital long-term with COVID. And who had not had the vaccination yet.
I do not understand this. Why hasn't someone said to explain?
And by the way, you know, what you know is going on, what this reveals is there's still this schism between Sage and Boris. Mm. Boris, to be fair, I think in private, he wants us to get back to normal as quickly as possible. And Rishi Sunak obviously does. And you can see from the way Whitty is behaving, and for that matter, Valance, Van Tam, Harries, and all the rest of them, that they are still the concrete boots around Boris's ankles, that they want to hold us back and to carry on fighting this forever. And that cannot be. We've got to stop doing this.
Well, listen, there's no question that if they manage to keep everybody locked away, there's less chance of people mixing. And that's true.
Yeah.
But you can't live like that.
Yeah. Well, and also, Boris Johnson, it's just insanity.
Also, Boris Johnson is basically saying, the reason that I want to accelerate the roadmap process is because we've got to be cautious. He says, you've got to remember, you know, we came out of lockdown last summer, and then by the autumn, there was this big spike and we had the big second wave. Well, hang on a second. I think there's a bit of a difference between
this.
We didn't have the vaccine. Right. What is the vaccine
also,
for?
Also, there's no connection, I'm sorry to say, between pubs opening and the infection rate rising in September.
Yeah,
because they were open for 2 months. Nothing happened. People went to the beach.
Yep.
Nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
When it happened was when the schools reopened and when people started going to university around the country.
Yeah.
That was what made it go up.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with the pubs at all.
Never mind al fresco April. Just
absolutely
open the damn
ridiculous.
Pub
too cold.
Dawn, your second one.
Okay, I know we're going back on the same subject, and I'm sorry.
That's okay.
People might be.
You are a royal correspondent.
You're allowed to. You're allowed to.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to nominate Oprah Winfrey.
Oprah Winfrey. Well done.
Look, it was
useless.
I thought it was very good viewing. I've watched it twice now.
Have you?
I thought it was boring.
I thought it was interesting. I thought it was
fascinating. No, I mean, I definitely enjoyed watching it.
No, I did enjoy watching it. However,
I like the chickens.
The chickens. What was that about? There was some subliminal Feathers message flow. Going on.
I
there.
Like collecting things. How scary was that when she said that? Do you know what I thought? I thought of Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
I thought, blimey.
Well, she did look at Harry in that way, then, didn't she?
It was a very subtle message. It was a metaphor for them being cooped up and feathers flying.
I thought it might have been a metaphor for him being a complete cock.
Steady.
Can we get that one out?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Could have been.
As in cockerel.
Yes.
Any case.
We got that.
Look, it was. Oprah, I mean, you know, she's very good at what she does, but what she does is get interviews set up. Mm. What she doesn't do is forensically quiz.
Also, can I just ask,
why did
they have to explain that they were doing this interview in somebody else's house in their back garden rather than either of them?
Privacy.
But then they went to the chicken thing.
But then they went to the chicken coop anyway.
Yeah, I know. Well, because they sort of said that you will get a glimpse inside of their domestic arrangements. All we got was where the chickens live, as opposed to where.
But Kev, that was them getting to basics. Back to basics.
Do you think that was also a combination of the chickens coming home to roost, perhaps?
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
Or
there's so many metaphors.
There's a lot, isn't there?
Or him being henpecked.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
But I want to just preface this. That I did then, you wouldn't have heard this because it was there was no sound, but I did actually nominate Oprah Winfrey last week.
You did?
Predicting that she would conduct a completely useless interview.
Look.
And she did.
And so
you're right,
proved.
Dawn. She's great at getting interviews. She's absolutely lousy at conducting
You've
them.
Just said I'm right twice in one plane.
Yeah,
well.
No, but she's lousy. Well, that's because I said it first last week.
What?
Same. How bloody dare you?
You know, practice that kind of Oprah Winfrey. What?
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, that's about.
No, but you have to do the pregnant pause first. Yeah.
What? Yeah, and I then mean, she doesn't ask him any details.
No. What is actually not a question.
What was Kate upset about?
She's getting upset.
Something.
Now.
She was upset about something. Now move on.
Yeah.
Tell us.
Kevin, this is the point I was trying to make that there was.
That
no
I made last week, yeah.
Follow up questioning. There was no. Hold on a minute, but you have just said something different. And there was no fact checking.
No.
Absolutely no. The mental health thing, which I've already discussed about Harry, and then you've made programmes about mental health. Mm. You couldn't look after your wife. And then there was the whole his not being called a prince because
yeah,
of...
Yeah, which was not true.
Which was not true.
No.
And that
the
is...
marriage.
And that's the line.
Oh yeah, the
of,
marriage. They got married 3 days before.
Yeah, the line of succession. True. The money being stopped. Completely, absolutely nothing to do with them being discriminated against, and everything to do with them literally stopping
also,
work.
Also, did Charles not give them £4 million last year?
Exactly.
I mean, that's not my definition of the money being stopped.
He's got. Yeah, absolutely. He gets pocket money from his dad.
£4 million.
Which is slightly
their security bill was $7 million a year.
Uh-huh. Why?
And the taxpayers paid. And Charlie, when the taxpayers said we don't want to pay for that anymore, he footed the bill.
He footed it, yeah.
And then Harry had a hissy fit when the bill came down to him.
Right.
I'm going to pay for myself.
I know, well, exactly. Pocket money. Eugenie and Beatrice aren't looked after by taxpayer-funded security.
No.
You're not the only ones.
No, exactly.
By the way. But none of this was
put
on.
But also there's other nonsense about how, you know, we're not interested in, you know, titles, but why hasn't our son got one?
Yeah.
Huh?
Because
you
it's
know,
the line
how do you
of
tie those two
that
things together?
But also, they're also conflating that with how could our son Archie possibly be protected and safe if he wasn't a prince? Eh?
Yeah.
What's that about? I don't. Right. Where's the logic there? No. I don't get that at all.
But
the biggie for me was sort of like. Meghan.
But it's all plain, isn't it? Plain to an audience that don't know any of this stuff, though. So the American audience doesn't get any of that.
But it's not. Good interviewing. It's not actually going, but hold on a minute. And then the worst bit was, because this was just glaringly obvious, even if you don't know how the royal family operate, is that Meghan, who run a very successful TIG blog website thing, very, very media savvy, very internet savvy, denied ever looking up her future husband online.
Yes.
I mean, everyone's
and,
done that.
And she just nodded, didn't she?
Yeah,
Oprah.
That's fine.
Okay.
And in the same interview, sorry, I worked up this way.
Yeah.
And in the same interview, she said, oh, you know, I didn't really know anything about Harry. I wasn't that au fait with the royal family. Next sentence, oh, but I knew Eugenie before I knew Harry.
Yeah.
Oh, well, what about that picture?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When she was a kid.
Outside Buckingham
All
Palace.
Starry-eyed outside Buckingham Palace.
So I didn't know what it was like to be a royal, despite obsessing about Princess Diana, according to school friends' mums when you were a kid.
The thing about Oprah, she's got no ear or eye for detail. Yeah. So when somebody said, you know, to make an interview work, you need times, dates, places, who was there, exactly what circumstances.
Just a simple, did the gentle event, follow-up question.
She just settles for very, very bland generalisations. And that's why there's such a row going on about the alleged racism, basically because Oprah did not probe that point fully enough. You know, in fairness, she did try and... What was her point? She didn't actually say who said that.
No.
Her response was, you're not going to tell me who that was. Great.
No, yeah. I'm not.
Why don't you say
who was it? Exactly.
Because that's just throwing literally everybody under the bus rather than just one person. In any case, I'm sorry, Oprah. I admire what she's done, dragging herself up from a female
working class.
Well,
she's £9 million richer now as well.
She got £6.5 million for that as well.
Yeah.
So I admire what she's done, but it wasn't...
$9 million, yeah.
It wasn't a great forensic filleting.
No, but don't worry, there's more to come, and it'll probably be even less forensic than the first one, because that will be part two, which they'll no doubt roll out pretty soon. My second one is everybody's favourite sort of gardening expert, Monty Don. Now, I'll get trouble for this because I know people who think Monty Don's great and that he's very ineffectual and he never is horrible to anybody. He had a nice dog for a while, you know, and people were like, oh, Monty Don, what a lovely bloke.
He's quite cuddly. Does he wear nice jumpers?
He wears nice jumpers and Wellington boots a lot. You see him on like the gardening shows, right? Anyway, he's come out, right, and given an interview to the Radio Times in which he's basically said that we should stop cutting our lawns. And he accuses the people who do cut the lawns as being kind of mostly male and obsessed with controlling things.
What?
And you're kind of going, sorry? What the hell are you talking about? Well, so now gender is an issue in gardening. So that if you are a macho man, what you like to do is nothing better than getting on the old ride-on Ferrari mower and riding around and cutting the grass to within an inch of its life, just to prove a point.
So now we're shouting at lawns. After statues and tea bags and butter, we are now shouting at lawns.
And apparently it's better for wildlife if you let the garden grow. So it's all right if you have like a massive field full of, you know, 8 foot tall grass that loads of animals can play in.
Does Monty Don have one of those wild gardens that go on for acres and acres?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, whenever
I see him, he's in one of these very busy looking... sort of gardens, which has got, you know, one section over here, which has got some Brazilian fauna in it or something.
How is mowing the lawn sexist?
It really isn't. I mean,
of all
you
the
know.
Things that are really sexist.
Well, there are lots of things that are really sexist. I don't think mowing the lawn is one of them.
No.
I really don't.
It's not. I'm not
I mean, I've got what can only be described as quite an unusually sort of untethered lawn. He's seen it.
I just wondered what he was going to say then.
Untethered.
Yeah, untethered. Like, yeah,
untethered. It'll never get away. So it could get away.
Well, it's quite sort of.
Untethered. Lord.
Well, it's quite wide. My garden, right, is quite big. Okay, it's got it's so
it's
big.
Sort of.
But it undulates. It's not a nice flat kind of thing that you could take a mower to and make it look like Wimbledon. It's never going to look like that.
Okay.
It's got a copse in the middle of it, right? and that's not a couple of police officers. That's, you know, a collection of small woods. Some of them are actually very tall. It's got some nettles over there.
You've got private wood.
Well, not really a private wood, but it's quite a big... It's trees in the garden.
He lives in a very, very nice,
I
mean, rurally...
in London, that's a wood.
Countryside.
Well, you might call it a wood if you live in East London,
a wood.
I suppose. You know.
Wood.
There's an apple tree down the bottom. There's a lot
You've
of stuff.
You've got an orchard?
No, just one tree.
No, you keep exaggerating.
I've got...
He says he's got an apple tree. You say he's got an
I mean, there's parts of the garden that's so overgrown, I don't even go there, right? But what I'm saying is
that's just you in touch with your non-sexist side.
Yes, that's right. Exactly right.
You've got a lion?
So I've got it all. I've got it all, you see. But I'll tell you what else I've got, right? Because this is how unsexist I am. I've got gardener. So I don't mow the lawn anyway.
And it's a woman?
No.
Well, that's sexist.
That's sexist. Yeah.
That's sexist.
I was looking for a woman. I'm not allowed
male
to hire
gardeners.
Women in my house because I get into trouble. I'm really allowed to hire men as domestic staff. Anyway, he's not really my gardener, but he comes. It's a bloke that comes and cuts the lawn.
In a sexist way.
Twice
well,
a
won't, I hope you won't get him to do that again because, you know.
Well, I'm going to have to tell him.
Destroy
to,
life,
what I'm going to say to him is, why don't you fix the old the height of the blades so that when you're cutting it next time, you don't cut it quite so short.
Right, okay, yeah. So that's sort of.
So it's a bit more,
a bit less sexist.
A bit longer. In future, there's a lot of moles in it as well, so there's mole hills all over the place.
A Monty Don setting, you know, on your.
Yes.
Save the lawn creatures.
Sexist, non-sexist. So you can now tell when you visit people with gardens, right, just how sexist they are by the length of their grass.
What if you haven't actually got a garden?
Well, then you don't have to worry. You can be as sexist as you like.
Okay, that's fine. I did have a.
Do you have a garden?
No. I did have a small cactus. You know the plants that are incredibly difficult
to kill.
Personal
life.
But it was to that.
I managed to kill a cactus.
Yeah, I've managed to kill.
I'm not
it as
very
well.
Good at growing much. I like the garden for sitting out in during the summer, and that's it. I don't really do anything with it.
No.
You know,
why did you kill a cactus? You not give them enough water? Or
well, yeah. I don't know. I mean,
we're only meant to water
they're
once
supposed to be
month.
Good at that. Aren't they?
Well, it's supposed to. Yeah.
Well, this is what I mean. It's impossible to kill
I mean, them. I literally have no plants. In my flat in London, I have no plants because nothing ever lives anywhere I am.
No.
And I had it on the windowsill. And I used to water it from time to time as well. But it never grew.
No.
It just never grew. And eventually I thought, I'm just chucking this out now.
Yeah, so if it hadn't worked out, you get one of those massive Arizona ones.
Well, do you know, my son has got the ability to grow things. He's got a cactus in his room, which is about this high.
Wow.
And he got it when he was like that.
Blimey.
So you've been down those deserts in Arizona.
Oh, yeah. No, well, do you know, I've played...
Those things are like 30, 40 feet high.
Well, do you know, I've played golf, right? I played golf in Arizona.
Yeah, I have too.
And it's the only place where the guy, the caddy, goes, hit it over the cactus.
Yeah.
And you'd actually literally, the cactus was the way you had to hit the ball.
Wow. Yeah.
And have you played in Florida, where you have to run away from the alligators?
The other one I got once when I was playing in Florida was a snapping turtle. There was a snapping turtle on the green,
yeah.
Which will take your arm off.
In California, where I played all the time,
she's loving this conversation about golf.
All the golf shops, you have rattlesnake bite kits.
Right.
And you used to see rattlesnakes all over the course. And so Californians, there'd be a rattlesnake about 1 foot away, and they look like teeing off as if it's not. Oh, God, there's a rattlesnake.
Right. Amazing. Know? Amazing. Anyway, that's enough sport for the day.
Oh, no, we haven't just talked about golf.
Let's get back to Plank of the Week. So, Kevin, your third nomination.
My third nomination, which I think is really, really good, is... well, it's not good. It's awful. It's the policeman who recently went to a apartment, a very flash apartment, on a private estate in southwest London, where an agitated little 10-year-old girl was having a big row with her mum. And the mum had called the cops because apparently the kid was out of control. Seems a strange sort of situation. The kid was holding a hammer when they got there. The cop said, "Drop the weapon." The 10-year-old girl, the kid...
Is this in America?
No, this is here.
Oh, right.
Southwest London.
Okay.
Southwest London.
I wondered why you had an American accent. Sorry, no, well, it's just a bit of a giveaway
sort
for me.
Thing. No, that's my Southwest London accent.
I see.
Drop the weapon. Drop the weapon. All right, that's better. Drop the weapon. And the kid, the little 10-year-old girl, did not drop the hammer.
Right.
So he tasered her. 50,000 volts.
That's
50,000 volts into a little 10-year-old girl.
I mean, what could possibly be going through somebody's mind to do that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a
How
couple of...
How much threat is a 10-year-old?
It's a couple of burly cops.
Mm.
You know, okay, a hammer is a dangerous weapon, but it's a 10-year-old kid. Surely
right.
they could overcome a kid with
you
a hammer.
You would think.
And there must be rules on whether or not you can fire a 50,000-volt taser
They're lucky they
into
didn't
the
kill
heart
her.
Of a 10-year-old kid.
Gee.
Blimey.
It's outrageous.
Is the kid okay?
The kid seems to have survived. And apparently the kid was in a very agitated state. Clearly the mum was very worried or wouldn't have called the police. But surely cops make a decision. You can't taser a little kid. It's
well, the police in this country, though, you'd have to worry. I mean, we were saying at the beginning of this show that, you know, 2 weeks ago, Merseyside Police won the Plank of the Week for being, you know, the most woke of wokeness.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a video, I don't know if you guys did, a couple of days ago, of a guy who was being arrested by two female police officers, presumably for some COVID infractioni. And he kind of just wrestled his way out of their grip and ran off. And they started sort of waddling after him. and neither one of them could run very quickly. And it was like a scene from Benny Hill, yeah. where these two women police officers trying to catch this one guy who wasn't running that fast, but they couldn't catch him.
Right.
And you just think, what is going on in our police department?
Yeah, exactly, mate. And the danger here, or what is worrying about this, is this is edging towards the American system of policing. You'll remember.
Well, they've already got the accents.
You cannot even talk to American cops.
No, you really can't.
And if you do something, if they tell you to stand still and you just shuffle on your feet, the chances are they'll shoot you.
Yeah,
dead.
I was once pulled over right in upstate New York. I'd been skiing. And
skiing, golf, overtook all bases covered.
You know, overtook this car, not realising it was a cop, as I was driving through this town, right? And of course, as soon as I went past him, he was like, woo, woo, and I was like, oh, great. And I was fine. I hadn't had a drink or anything. As I pulled in to stop the car, I, as you do, opened the door to get out. And this loudspeaker came from the cop car behind me. Please stay in the vehicle, sir. And I was like, Christ almighty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I mean, you know, they're really scary.
Put your hands on the dashboard.
They're really scary.
It's a very regular occurrence in America. If you don't put your, I've had it myself as well, you do that, right? And if you don't, they might shoot you.
Yeah.
And the big mistake, a lot of people.
Well, because they're worried they're going to get shot.
I'll
tell you what people tend to do. And it's resulted in a lot of fatalities in America, is they tend to go for their driving license. And they go and this incident in southwest London, on a private estate, by the way, a gated community, indicates that British cops may be in danger of adopting that ludicrous attitude where they don't actually make any assessments of a logical situation, they just open fire.
Shoot first.
And is anyone investigating this character? Has he been named or is he unnamed?
No, they haven't named anybody in the story yet.
But the
police have said there is an official police statement along the lines of police attended an incident where an individual was carrying a weapon. They asked her to drop the weapon, and when she didn't,
no mention of her age.
An individual. 10-year-old child.
Yeah, it's a 10-year-old.
Dear me.
It's a 10-year-old.
That's not good.
So I think that cop, you know, if we wanted to be unusual on this obvious Harry and Meghan week, it's always a Harry and Meghan week,
Taser,
I think that cop is a good candidate.
Taser police officer, I think, is a good one. Dawn, your final one?
My final one is moving away from Harry and Meghan, and we're going back onto Boris, another perennial favourite of mine.
You like getting him in there, don't
you? I can't stand Boris Johnson, I'm sorry.
He's the Prime Minister, right?
He is the Prime Minister.
Yeah, evidently. Yeah.
But a lot of people say
he's running the country via Hancock, Whitty, Valance, everybody
nice
else.
Nice furniture, though, £200,000.
Well, this is my... Stop preempting
Honestly.
In any case, this in a week where nurses have been offered a 1% pay rise, which for a nurse on £24,000 a year is about a fiver. An extra fiver.
Yeah.
Marvellous. Well done. Thank you, Boris. At the same time, spend £200,000 doing up his flat with, frankly, the most hideous furniture and wallpaper I've ever seen
I've said this before, brother. Why is it that it costs £200,000 to do up a flat which gets done up about once every 4 years?
Absolutely no idea. I saw the pictures of the sort of stuff they were spending their money on, and really, I would just...
Did I see a headline that described Carrie Simmons as a sewn ranger?
A what?
A sewn ranger.
What's that mean?
Well, I assumed it had something to do with some designer.
It
was in the context of...
It was a spelling mistake.
Was it? It could have been.
I don't know.
I was so disinterested in the story, I didn't read it.
She's supposed to, though. Carrie Simmons, who is the one who's in charge of this obscene, grotesque £200,000 refurb. I mean, I've done up a few houses. You can do massive houses up for... If you're 25,000, should get them looking fine and dandy. 50,000, brilliant. 200,000 for a flat? You must be joking. But she's supposed to have been the Tories' former supremo communications expert. Mm. Well, she doesn't know much about optics, does she?
No.
This is a terrible look. She looks like Marie Antoinette.
It is ridiculous.
Fiddling while we all die.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes,
and you know, this is a government that's been spunking so much money out the wall. I mean, the furlough scheme, £50 billion. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. By the way, I'm just saying it costs a lot of money. We are throwing money at COVID, absolutely left, right and centre. We've spent billions.
Yeah.
We're going to be in debt for generations. But we can't afford 1%.
Well, do you know, we can afford 1%. They just don't want it.
Well, exactly.
1% is what they're being offered, right? But the NHS unions are doing what they normally
do,
which is to make out that everyone who works for the NHS is some kind of hero. Now, I'm quite happy to accept that the people on the front line who have been working their guts out in ICU units dealing
with COVID...
They're
more of a hero than bloody Boris Johnson.
Well, they may well be, but there's plenty of people who work for the NHS who sit in an office and do nothing.
No, no,
many of them actually work from home. And loads of them had a big pay rise about 3 years ago.
Massive problem we have dealing rationally with the NHS, with nurses, with doctors.
Yeah.
As soon as we start talking about the NHS and the frontline heroes, we lose all sense of our senses. We go completely crazy. We go totally emotional. Everyone's going, give the angels more money. Well, we can't really afford it. And they're demanding 12.5%. That's just a joke. Mm. They're not going to get anything.
Also,
like
3 years ago, I believe, I'm right in saying this, some of them got in excess of 20% of a pay rise. Mm. So the reasoning behind this is not just because Boris Johnson is stingy. He's saying, wait a minute, 3 years ago you got a big pay rise, massive pay rise. Lots of people in the private sector haven't even...
£24,907.
That's not the lowest paid, but that's not the lowest paid job in this country.
It's look, I'm not.
How much do you think they're worth?
Well, I think they're worth a lot more than that.
Do you? Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they've been working damned hard.
Well, so have I. But the thing is,
what about people?
We've had money to burn.
What about people who do jobs that aren't in the NHS? Is it this assumption that jobs in the NHS, especially nurses and doctors, are so much more valuable than all you people who just work in offices?
Well, if someone's keeping me alive, that's fairly
valuable.
No, it is.
No, that's unfair. It's unfair to people who don't happen to work as frontline NHS heroes. It's ridiculous.
And also, there are people.
We lose all sense of rationality when we talk about nurses, doctors and the NHS, and that's why this pay dispute will never come to a sensible conclusion.
The unions are now threatening
Boris
to go on strike. Boris
is going to have to dig his feet in here because he cannot once again...
No, he can't. He can't. And also, they're threatening to go on strike, the unions, right?
Yeah.
You think that's right? Emergency workers should not be allowed to go on strike.
We're going to love the nurses when they go on strike.
I'm not a big fan of the unions, but they're saying that no one's life will be put at risk by healthcare workers going on strike.
No. Really?
Now, really?
That's good for them. I'm not saying...
Shush.
I'm
not saying...
So there's a bus driver out there. We've got a bloke with a heart attack here. Can you come in? We haven't got any nurses.
We're on strike.
I'm not saying that...
Of course it'll affect them. It'll cost lives.
Yeah, go on.
We'll
I'm going to storm out.
Don't storm out. Yeah, let's talk.
I'm not saying that 12.5% is a sensible thing, but 1% when you are blowing money left, right, and centre,
you hippie,
is derisory.
I'll tell you what. Here's an idea.
Right on.
Here's an idea for you, and you. I'm sure we'll accept it because it's a good idea. Why don't we just give the pay rise that you whatever it is you decide it is, whether it's 5% or 6%, to people who actually work in clinician-type jobs. So nurses, I don't think doctors need it because they get paid plenty. But nurses who don't get paid as much as you think they should, give it to them. But don't give it to the people...
Totally agree.
To the people who sit behind a desk.
Totally agree.
And work on, the money.
Who some of them are on £200,000.
Why not? What's wrong with their jobs? Why are their jobs less important?
Well, because the argument that's being made is that these are people who save people's lives.
I don't agree with that.
You don't have to agree with it. Ridiculous. I wasn't asking you, I was asking Dawn.
Yeah, thank you.
There you go.
We know what she thinks.
She's a bleeding heart liberal.
The cats love it.
Give lots of money to nurses.
This is partly why we haven't been put in the tank.
I like the way the nurses go, it's all very well.
You've got a radio show to do, Lee. You've got to save your energy.
Yeah, but they'll go, it's all very well. You're all clapping us every week. What we want is more money. Well, we're not clapping you. We gave it up years ago.
Yeah,
I didn't
true.
Clap them in the first place.
No, I didn't either.
Nonsense.
Yeah. I did because the dog liked it.
Yeah.
We used to go outside. The dog thought it was great fun.
Sort of dead end, so nobody could see you doing it anyway.
I wouldn't let anyone see me. I'd lose my entire image.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Be bad for my bad for my rep.
Now, as luck would have it,
Birchie Stigling Care.
My third nomination has actually been up the last 2 weeks, but because nobody's actually seen it, nobody knows.
We should just read
but the story's still even now better than it was, and it's going to be Gordon Ramsay and his useless new show called Bank Balance, right?
Is it still but on?
Apparently, there's a chance that they're going to pull it because it's so bad in the ratings, right? Story this week. In your paper, The Daily Star, funnily enough.
Thank you very much.
Which basically was stolen.
It gets good stories these days.
Stolen, it does. Stolen by the Mail Online, obviously. But it started off at 2.7 million. Which is not very much when you consider that
Megan's
show got 11
million. 9 o'clock, not acceptable.
It then quickly went to 1.6 million the following day. And it's a three-day-a-week show. And I've explained before to you guys, it's the most ridiculously complicated show I've ever seen in my life. As a game show, it just doesn't work. You don't know what people are doing. You don't know what they're doing it for.
And it's on for an hour, isn't it?
And it's on for an hour. And they have contestants doing things.
They're on for 40 minutes.
I watched the first show, and the first two guests were on for 40 minutes on their own, without any kind of tension, without any sort of, you know, music, without any audience participation. It was just him asking them questions and them all falling about laughing at how stupid they were, while trying at the same time to put sort of ridiculous fake gold bars onto this bizarre four-angled seesaw. And I mean, I'm watching it going, I'm sorry, I don't understand what the point is.
Well, I got you to watch it, didn't I?
He made me watch it because we were going to do a show.
Bullying. I'd storm out if I was you.
I mean, you know, I'm never doing anything he tells me again. It practically ruined my entire week.
But it was, and both of us were absolutely stunned by how awful it was. And as you say, Mike, it was going to be 3 days a week for 3 weeks in a row. So they've done 2 weeks. I think hardly anyone's won any money yet. Gordon Ramsay.
Well, the first two who are on for 40 minutes won nothing. Literally nothing.
No, there's hardly any money being won.
No.
It's an absolute shambles. It's a car crash. Mm. But you say they might pull it.
Well, they're saying a source told them that they're certainly facing the axe. They're certainly pretty much they've forgotten about the idea of renewing it because it's only on for another.
Of course.
It's only on for a couple.
How long has it got to go?
It's only got it's quite a short run. It's only got a couple of weeks.
It's one series, which is 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So they thought it was going to be event telly. This is the final week of the 3 weeks. It starts on a Wednesday, I think, and then carries on to a Friday. So it's three nights week.
But they lost 1 million viewers in a day. I mean, that's quite an achievement.
But because it's just unwatchable.
And he's hopeless as well, Gordon Ramsay. I mean, I quite like some of Gordon Ramsay's kind of kitchen shows.
Yeah.
When he goes into, I used to quite like the one where he was in America going into restaurants and sorting them out.
And shouting at people.
And shouting at people. He doesn't really shout at these people, but he swears occasionally just to prove that he still can.
I think he's been allowed a couple of strategic F words.
Right.
But that's the reason he was
Gordon Ramsay. But it doesn't work because when he says it, you're kind of going, you've really just said that for effect, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You've
sort of forced that out. You're not actually annoyed with anyone. Yeah. Whereas in the kitchen shows, he's quite annoyed and it's quite good.
It seems pretty genuine. Wasn't he on Ant and Dec that Saturday night?
Yeah, that was a disaster as well. I didn't see that.
I mean, I don't really watch any ordinary television.
Oh, by the way, they pre-recorded Gordon Ramsay on that Saturday Night Takeaway, and he was so bad that viewers were complaining. But because they pre-recorded it, Ant and Dec were so pleased to welcome the star of the BBC's smash hit Bank Balance, and it was already dying a terrible day.
I know. How embarrassing. Well, maybe he'll have to go back to the drawing board with Gordon Ramsay Productions and see if he can come up with a slightly better idea.
You should point that out, though, Mike.
Maybe you should do a job swap.
People say, well, how come Gordon Ramsay was presenting this seems like a strange choice? It's because it was by a programme made by Gordon Ramsay Productions. Yeah. And he wanted himself to be a game show host. He is no game show host.
No.
I think he may have learned his lesson.
I've got another reason to nominate Gordon Ramsay. Okay. Well, there are lots of reasons to nominate Gordon Ramsay for Plank of the Week. Like pretending he played for Glasgow Rangers when he didn't.
There is a picture of him in a team photo.
This is my reason for having
West Ham.
This is my reason for having unfeasibly large feet. Do you know what size feet should you take? 15.
What?
15.
How tall is he?
Is he very tall?
He's not particularly tall. He's about my height.
Is he?
Six.
That is big, isn't it? Well, maybe that's why he was a good footballer.
Well, yeah, but he wasn't good enough to play for the Glasgow Rangers, even though he said he did. Yeah. Play for one charity game.
Yeah.
And when the news...
It's funny, actually, because when I was in Scotland, there was some stories about Gordon Ramsay, which you don't hear down here very often.
Well, I've heard stories about Gordon Ramsay. Mm. But, you know, he likes to embellish his life. So he said that he was on the books of Glasgow Rangers and unfortunately suffered a bad... injury, and therefore had to give up his professional football.
Yeah,
career.
Me too.
When the News of the World found out about that, they went to Glasgow Rangers and said, "We've got no record of him ever being on our books ever."
Yeah, interesting.
And he had to admit it.
All right. Well, I'm
just thinking, being the only girl here, whether it's size of feet equals proportion things going on here.
There are some people you could ask that question to, but
what size do you take, Mike?
Mine are a 10.
Yeah. That's why maybe he has trouble balancing, you know.
That could be what it is, bank balancing. But he's probably paid himself a pretty penny. But anyway, he's on my planks list. Now, we're going to carry one over from last week. I'm going to suggest that it's Nicola Sturgeon, who should still remain in the planks list.
She's good because her story's moved on as well, having a go at the Rangers fans who were doing what Rangers fans do for the first 10 years.
And they
didn't
look
winning.
To me as if they were doing anything, you know, quote, illegal.
Get over it.
They were having a celebration. They haven't won the league for 10 years. I think they can have a bit of a walkabout in the open air.
And she's
talking
said,
about the open air.
Yeah, go home, you're killing people.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Shut up.
I mean, absolutely unbelievable. Right, now, it's that time where we have to decide what the top three is going to be.
Is this a bit where the recording thing goes down and it's all...
Well, hopefully not. I'd like you not to jinx it, please, because this is third time lucky for us.
It's my fault.
Third time lucky for us. Enough things have gone wrong. Funnily enough, when I was announcing the week before last that Plank of the Week wasn't coming out, do you know what happened?
What?
The YouTube feed dropped.
Yeah, that's right.
So it didn't go out.
People were
when I was explaining it, they were like, why has the screen gone black? And I'm thinking, is there some kind of curse? Curse of the Plank.
It's cursed.
Anyway,
it's a curse.
Why don't you pick mine first this week, Dawn?
Okay, remind me again.
Gavin Williamson, Secretary of State for Education, Monty Don, Gardner Extraordinaire, and Nick Gordon Ramsay. All men.
Good.
Yes.
Good, absolutely. Yeah. Well, despite Monty Don this sexist gardening, which is quite funny.
It is.
I'm going to go for Gavin Williamson for inflicting pain and misery on millions of school kids.
Yes, I think that's an excellent choice. Right, shall I pick yours, Kevin?
Sure.
Your three?
So my three, first was the GMB woke weatherman, the Meghan-loving Alex Beresford for his unprofessional calling out of Piers Morgan on TV, and basically also for being a mealy little Meghan supporter, millennial idiot.
I like Alex. I think he's good.
Yeah, great. So definitely him.
Right.
Definitely him. Second, having almost gone for Joe Biden, I changed my mind and went for Chris Whitty.
Oh, yes.
Keeping the nation in a state of terror, refusing to accept that it is time we learn to live with COVID. He clearly doesn't want us to. And he's predicting 30,000 will die if we come out of lockdown too early. Stop scaring us witless. It has to stop. Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous. So Chris Whitty for that. And finally, I think probably my personal favourite. It's not funny. The copper.
Funny.
He tasered a 10-year-old girl.
That isn't good. Yeah.
No.
I'm going to have to go with Chris Whitty, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because Chris Whitty is definitely the man of the moment. I mean, I thought he'd gone all quiet for a while. Just when we think we're safe to go back to the pubs, he's going, 30,000 more people are going to die.
Next slide, please.
Next slide, please. Yeah, here's your slide out of here. Just get on this and get lost. Thank you very much indeed. Right, Dawn, tell Kevin you're three.
And well, Kevin's going to be horrid to me, isn't he? Yep. I mean, he's been horrid to me all show.
Well, it's not about you, this show. I know I keep having to tell you this. It's really not about you. Yeah, it's
not. Right, I'm storming out. I've had enough.
That's it.
Okay. Right, Kevin, brace yourself, love.
Okay.
We are nominating Harry.
Has. Yeah, has.
If you like. Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Boris Johnson.
Okay. There's really difficult choices.
They're all good, actually.
Boris, I think we'll let off this week, although I totally agree with your reasons for nominating him.
Don't worry, you've got his surrogate, Chris Whitty, in the top three.
Yeah, that's true.
Oprah is a really good choice too, because she really could not interview her way out of a paper bag. Details, Oprah, details. But I think, you know, you can't not decide that the true plank of the week is Harry. You know, for all the reasons you said, Don, but I think trashing your dad in public, trashing your family in public.
It's really not very
good. Disgraceful, disgusting behaviour. This guy needs to raise his game very quickly. It's a disgraceful way to behave.
I think that's
Harry has the one that I would go for.
Has, right. Yeah, so it's an all-male triumvirate then. Chris Whitty and Gavin Williamson.
Hey, it was International Women's Day.
I know, it was. Well, it's going to have to be Harry, isn't it? I mean, I can't see anybody else being Harry.
No, it is Has.
I think
it's
so, Has. Yeah, it's Has Harry.
Should we make Gavin number two?
Yeah.
And then Chris Whitty number three.
Yeah, that's a good list. Good list.
It's not a bad list.
It's a pretty good list, yeah.
There's a lot going on there. Well, thank you, guys. Let's hope that everything works behind the scenes and everything is as it should be and we can actually get this out. And if so, I'm going to award you, has been Prince Harry, formerly known as, Herbert, as I called him earlier. Well done. You're the plank of the week.
Yay! Well deserved, Harry.
Well done, Harry.
Look after your wife, love.
Nope, top man.